Well, I ask you to make your way to your seat so we can go ahead and get started, please. Prime.
That's all right.
Just a couple quick things and then we'll jump in. Today is Testimony Sunday. And I'm going to tell you, this is one of my favorite Sundays of the year. It really is. You know, it's one thing to stand up here and talk to you about how God works through my life and what he does and to share some of the messages and the things that he gives to me, but it's totally something else to sit up here and hear what God is doing through your lives. And it's an exciting time to hear how God is moving. Now, we do this for a couple different reasons. Number one is we do this because I think it's really, really important to understand that God is moving in people's lives. Can you say amen to that? God is moving through our lives and in ways that we may not completely understand today, but down the road, we're going to look back on the things that God has been doing in our lives, and we're going to see something amazing that he's kind of thread through that whole entire thing. At the beginning, and when you're in the middle of it, sometimes it's painful, sometimes it's hurtful, sometimes it's difficult, sometimes it's not fun. But when we get to the other side, we can look back and we can have this view of what God has done in our lives. Testimony Sunday is all about what God is doing in your lives. It's an opportunity for us to just give him glory for what he's done in our lives and what he is doing in our lives. Now, I'm just going to say real quickly, we had just an amazing, if you all were not here on Christmas Eve, shame on you. No, I'm kidding. No shame. I understand Christmas Eve is Christmas Eve, but we had just an amazing service on Christmas Eve, and I just want to give you a real quick testimony of what happened. In the middle of the service, we had actually ordered, no joke, I ordered Chinese food on Christmas Eve, because that is truly one of the only places open on Christmas Eve. We had a DoorDash to our church, and we had no idea who was going to be coming in through those doors, but we knew that God did. And God brought us Tyrell. And Tyrell came through the doors, and we asked him to come up front. He was a little shocked and a little didn't know how to handle it all. But when he came up, we actually were able to give Tyrell $500 as a tip. And I will just tell you that Tyrell was very moved, and we had an opportunity to pray for Tyrell. Now, what he does with that blessing is completely up to him. Our job was just to bless him and then let God move in his life, and that's what we did. And that's just a wonderful testimony of what happened on Christmas Eve. All right, let's jump in real quick. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Revelation chapter 12. I'm going to be real quick on this because I want you to hear from, not me, but I want you to hear from the other people. But Revelation chapter 12, verse 11 tells us they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, for they love not their lives even unto death. Jesus is telling us what's going to happen, or Revelations is telling us what's going to happen in the future times, in the times to come. What he's saying to us in this verse is that we will overcome by our testimony. Now, someone may ask, what is a testimony, right? A testimony is what God has done in your life. Each and every single person in this room has something that God has done in your life. And so when we share our testimonies, what we are sharing is what God has done through us and in us to bring us to the place that we're at today. Now, some of that is people have just accepted Christ, and that's a wonderful testimony, right? Some of us talk about our lives and how it's been difficult, and God did something. Sometimes a testimony is about a healing. Sometimes a testimony is, I was so sick, and I was so just out, and God came down and touched me and healed me. That's a wonderful testimony, too. There are so many different testimonies. There are so many different ways to give God the glory, to testify about what God has done. And so today you're going to hear from four different people about four different testimonies that they have, each one of them a little bit different, but nonetheless, God is moving in the lives of the people in our church. And so I'm going to pray, and then we're going to ask Sarah to come up, and we'll start with her. So will you pray with me, please? Father, we thank you so much for who you are. We thank you so much for what you have done and what you are doing in our midst. Lord, you are such an amazing God. We don't deserve your grace and your love, but you give it to us anyway. In this season, shortly after Christmas, right before the new year, Father. We want to stop and just give thanks to you for what you have done in our lives, not only this year, but also through every day of our lives, Father. Lord, may you give the courage to the ones that are speaking today to share about their testimony and what God has done in what you have done in their lives, Father. Lord, we thank you for each story. We thank you for what each story represents and how you are being glorified in the lives of the people of here at Passion and what you're doing in them. Lord, may you receive the glory, the praise, and all that comes with it because you are such a great God and you deserve it so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, if you're here today, will you please welcome Sarah Roberts? Come on up, Sarah. Have a seat, sir. Now, Sarah, I offered this to every single one of the people that are coming up here today, but I offered to help them by asking questions. And some of them said yes, some of them said no, which is completely fine. And sometimes it's, as a testimony that God gives to us, sometimes it's easier for us to ask questions and have you answer those questions because not everyone is a public speaker, right? And that's fine. This isn't about the clarity of how we can present a message. This is about what God has done in our lives today. And so, Sarah, tell us how you came to Passion or when you came to Passion.
Well, I moved back up here last December from Louisiana.
I was prepared.
Life was not so great at that point. And how I got here is my mom and I moved to Ravenna in 95, I think, 96, something like that. Maybe 97, I don't remember, but we live right across the street. And for years, we would drive half hour, 45 minutes away to church when I was growing up. But this time when I moved back, this church was just talking to me, just the building itself, you know. So I told my mom, I said, let's check out the church across the street because it's just so far and it's such a long drive and our old church, it wasn't reaching me, talking to me, I don't know. God was just drawing me here. And so we started coming here. And actually we didn't start coming here until after I got baptized at that church. And I was still using then. On February 12th, I was completely lost and just sick and tired of my life, and I didn't know where to go, I didn't know who to talk to, I didn't know what to do, so I came here. And for anybody that doesn't know, during the week, this is used for something else. It's a day hab for...
challenged?
Yes.
Yes.
So, I didn't know that at the time. So, I pulled into the parking lot and I parked over there in the parking lot. And I just sat there and cried and cried and cried and told God how done I was with everything. And it's like, God, it's yours. I'm yours. I'm done. I can't do this anymore. I can't. And I sat out there for like 45 minutes just crying in the parking lot, talking to God. And then somebody comes out and knocks on my window and says, you can't be here. And here I am in tears, crying my eyes out. And I'm like, oh, okay. So I left. But this is just where God drew me to. This is where he put my attention. And I am grateful for that.
So you mentioned that you were using still when you were baptized. Can you tell us a little bit about your history with that?
I was 14 the first time I got drunk. And then, you know, before I was 18, I had drank, smoked weed, done coke, done meth. I was an alcoholic before I was 21.
You mentioned earlier that how God arranged your relationship with your mom. Can you share just a little bit about that?
Yeah, so now that I'm on the other side of addiction, now that I'm in recovery, I was adopted just when I was a little baby. 3 months old, 6 months old, I was real little.
Can I want to share a real quick story. I'm going to jump in here just one second. When Debbie and Sarah came to church the first time, we both looked. My wife and I both looked and said, "You guys look so much alike." We did not know until later. So,
So, actually, she babysat me before she adopted me. She was my babysitter, and God chose her to be my mom. And he chose me to be her daughter. Even though I wasn't. I was a little tough. But he knew I needed her and she needed me. I don't know what I was saying.
That's fine. On February, when you showed up here at church, what changed for you? What did God do inside of you? Or what is he doing inside of you? Maybe that's even a better question.
I tried a number of times to be sober, to stay sober. I mean, I've been battling back and forth with addiction since I was... I mean, it didn't right off the bat start as addiction. You know, mm-hmm. I was a teenager just having fun, I thought. You know, all for a moment of fake happiness. You know, I'm just... that it's never real happiness. There's nothing, anything about drugs that can bring you true happiness. I forgot the question.
What changed in February when you came here? How has God been moving in your life currently?
Well, this time it was different. I mean, I have no cravings, no urges, no want to use drugs.
God. Amen.
Mm-hmm. And it was always such a struggle to reach that and to not, you know, oh, I got this much time, or I would make it 2 weeks, or I would make it a month, or, you know, but it never lasted. And this time, everything about me feels different. So I've hurt my mom in the past due to my addiction. And she was nervous about me moving back up in here, up here with her. I was homeless in Louisiana, off and on, after my ex-husband left me. And the last 6 years of my life have been pretty hard, and... anyways, I know she was nervous about letting me move back, you know? Mm-hmm. And I was nervous about moving back, so I was hesitant if I was even going to stay last year when I came up here. So when I had to tell her I relapsed, I was scared, but I knew that I couldn't do it if I didn't tell her, because then I was just going to have it in the back of my head, you know. And I knew she could help, and I knew God. But anyways, long story short, she just looked at me and she said, "You've got perseverance. You've got strength. Jesus is going to get you through it," you know, and he did.
He did. That's absolutely. That's absolutely the truth. How long has it been? It's been February, so 10 months, right?
Do you know how many? Coming up on 11.
Coming up on 11. Do you know how many days?
320.
Yeah.
<something.
laughs> Yes, let's give her a clap.
On February 13th, I'll have a year. And I can say that confidently because I know I'm not going to go back. Mm-hmm. I have God, being on this side of it, finally being able to see with a clear mind, God has had his hands on my life since I was in the womb.
Mm-hmm.
At 33, I had brain surgery. I had 5 inches of my skull removed. They had to widen the vertebrae in my neck because my brain fell. Well, it protruded through my skull and pinched my spinal cord. It was shutting down my entire central nervous system. I had to have a PEG tube. I couldn't eat. And here I am today.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything that you would like to... You kind of did, but I'm going to ask you again. Is there anything you would like to say... if someone asks you what makes a difference in your life today, how has God made that difference in your life, and what encouragement could you give someone else?
One thing I would say is anybody who's struggling with any struggle, don't give up. Don't give in, no matter how hard, no matter how much, because doubt is going to be there, but that's what you have to fight past. Jesus is there to get you through. He is there to strengthen you. He is there to guide you. Even if you don't see it in the moment, you will. It's just...
Well, that's wonderful. Can we pray for Sarah, please? If you will all reach out your hands, and let's just pray for Sarah. Father, we thank you for this wonderful child of yours that you have brought into our midst. And Lord, this isn't this story isn't about us. It's about you and what you're doing, what you have been doing in Sarah's life, Lord. Thank you so much for just the difference that you've made in her life and what you have been doing, what you are doing, and what you will do in her life, Father. She is such a beautiful child of yours, Lord. We trust that you are working in her life, that you'll continue to work in her life, Father. We thank you for the opportunity to be family with her here at the church, Father. We thank you for being part of her story and part of her life, Father. And we just encourage her and lift her up to you, Father, so that you would continue strengthening her so that she can continue to overcome anything that the devil throws at her, Father. Lord, we thank you, Father. We glorify you for her. We give you honor. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Everyone give her a round of applause, please.
Thank you.
All right, Diane, come on up. As she's coming up, I just want to say a couple of real quick things. This isn't about us. I love hearing these stories about how God is moving in people, but this everything that we do is a reflection of what onto God. It's not us, it's God. And so if you hear someone, as Sarah said, and others will probably say along the way, that yeah, the difference in being part of the family here at the church and stuff, those are all wonderful, beautiful things, right? But it's because of what God is doing, not because of what we are doing. And so we are reflecting that back on him, and we're giving him praise and glory for what he has done. I'll give you the mic and just say, listen, Diane has been suffering with pneumonia the last couple weeks before Christmas. And so I talked to her this week and kind of talked her into still doing this. If she has a coughing fit, I may have to jump in and fill in the gaps where I know. And my story is better than hers. So about her. I'm kidding. It's not.
You didn't ask me if I had a choice whether you wanted to interview me or...
Oh, do you want to?
No.
Oh.
I'm going to sit down.
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
I thought I had this all rehearsed and it's gone. I'm sorry. I did not grow up in a Christian home. I had a parent that, from the time that I was a young child to almost to the day that they passed away, would tell me that God never did anything for them What made me think he would do anything for me? Good things happen to other people. Don't expect it. So I spent the first 46 years of my life living on the pretense of I had to do everything myself because no one else was going to step in. God was for other people. Good things were for other people. Take care of yourself, Di. Jump to 1999. It was a really bad year for me. Besides being in a 10-year battle with depression, I had had I'll call it a mishap in the middle of the year that laid me up for several months. I won't go into detail, but to give you a mental picture, my right leg was in an air cast and my left arm was strapped to my body and I was not allowed to use it. So this person who prided herself on not needing anyone all of a sudden needed everyone to do almost everything for me. And what should have been a humbling experience turned out to be a humiliating experience. I hated it that I had to depend on other people. I hated it that I had to ask my sons to do things that a mother shouldn't have to ask your sons to do. And I was devastated at the fact that I was disrupting other people's lives by having to have them be there. And as I was healing, I was spinning more and more deeper into that pit of depression. So when I got back on my feet, I think that was around October, I realized that I couldn't pull myself up out of that pit. Couldn't claw my way out this time. And I decided that the only way that I could do that was to end things. And I started making plans to take my life. I had plan A, which was a lot of pills and a lot of tequila. Plan B was making a sharp left in front of a semi. And I even had the spot on the road picked out. And every time that I would drive up that road, my hands would actually shift on the wheel, getting ready to make that quick jerk in front of that truck that I knew was coming for me. But it never did. I started putting things together so Wade and Christopher wouldn't have to be bothered by anything of me. And then something happened that made me think that I was losing my mind. I started hearing this voice, and every time that something would go wrong, and believe me, at that point in time, just a snapped pencil lead would send me over the edge. That voice would speak up, and it would say, take another step, die, just one more step. And for some unbeknownst reason, I always did. That voice became constant, continual. It was on a loop in my head, and I came to hate it. I came to despise it, and I did everything I could to try to get away from it. I tried to ignore it. It just got louder. I tried to run away from it. It followed. I tried to drown it, and all it did was put me back down in the pit even more. Take another step, die, just one more step. That brought me into December of 99. And things were getting worse. I felt worse about everything around me. I stopped communicating with friends. I started pushing people away. And I made up my mind that I would not see the year 2000. I wanted nothing to do with it. And then things got weird. Besides having all these things come at me of good things that were happening to people, And they were saying, you know, oh, I was so blessed and this happened. And all I could think about, what about me? When is it my turn? When is this going to happen for me? And then probably the pivotal thing, I don't know how this got in my house, but there was a magazine. And it wasn't a Christian magazine. It was like Woman's Day or something. I know I didn't buy it. But this magazine appeared in my house. And in the very back of this magazine, there was an article about how to read the Bible in 365 days. I had never opened a Bible in my life. I don't recall that there was a Bible in my house growing up. But I remembered that a previous employer of mine had always said, Diane, the answer to any question you could ever have can be found in the Bible. And I thought, well, maybe he's on to something. So I read it. And at that time in my life, I was a very, what I would call, analytical person. And a lot of it because of the depression, everything had to have a progression through it. There had to be a purpose, there had to be a plan, and there had to be a progression that it followed. And this reading plan was day one, January 1, Genesis 1. Now, if I was going to do this, it never dawned on me that I could have started that reading plan at any time, middle of December. When I picked it up. No. Day 1, January 1, Genesis 1. Do you see what just happened? I got drug into a period of time that I had no want to be in. January 1 got there. And the only Bible I had, because I wasn't going out and buying one of those things, believe me. The only Bible I had was this huge presentation Bible that the American Legion had given me upon my dad's passing, King James. And I did. I started reading day one, day two, four, and on and on and on. And I'm thinking, I don't get this. What is this all about? This doesn't make sense to me. Where is the bang? You know, I'm not reading this. Jumped forward to February 26th. And remember, all the while this voice is telling me to take another step. February 26th of 2000 was a beautiful day. It was almost 70 degrees outside. And I was outside just cleaning up what the winter had blown in so far. And my neighbor came home. And her name was Michelle, and Michelle was one of those people that my parents always warned me about, you know, one of those Bible thumpers, stay away from them. You know, it was one of those things when she'd start talking, it's like, oh, look at the time, I gotta go. And she started walking across the yard towards me, and I could tell that she was crying, and I thought, oh no, this is not good. And she got about halfway to me, and she threw up her arms, and she said, praise the Lord, hallelujah, hallelujah. And I went, oh, no, not today. Please, not today. And when she got in front of me, she started telling me about this really wonderful thing that happened to her, something that she had previously told me she was just given to God. Let him handle it. And I was thinking, honey, what's God going to do for you, right? And she was standing there praising the Lord, crying. And I was standing there crying, going, what about me? Where is my time? And I looked at her, and rather sarcastically, I'm sure, I said, Michelle, I wish I had your faith. And she stopped and looked at me, and she said, Diane, we've never talked about it, where are you on your walk with God? And I said, what walk? What is that? And she proceeded to tell me, and I'm sure it's the same way she had told me many times, the same way other people had told me many times. And I may have listened at that point, but today I heard. And when she was done, she said, Diane, if that's what you want, we can take care of that right here, right now. And I said, I felt something surround me. And I felt a pressure on the back of my neck, not a push, not a shove, kind of like a suggested redirection. You know, you take your kids to Walmart, they want to go to toys, you're going to shoes. No, 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 no. You know, that kind of thing. Come back. And that voice that for so many months had told me to take another step said, Diane, this is the step, take it. And I did. I took a step towards Michelle. I held out my hand. And I said, yes, that's what I want. And she led me in prayer, and I received Jesus into my heart and into my life. And I was washed in this peace immediately that I had never known. I always thought that I was running from something. I didn't realize I was running to someone. But me being me, I was still very skeptical. And I thought that I had 46 years to make up for. So I got very stringent about going home, sitting down with a glass of iced tea and my Our Daily Bread devotion, opening my Bible and say, Lord, teach me something today. And I'd read the devotion and I'd pick up that scripture and I'd just start reading until I couldn't read anymore. And I was about a week into this walk, and I'd had a really bad day at work. And on my way home, I remember screaming in the car, going, you didn't tell me it was going to be this hard. I thought everything was supposed to change. I thought things were supposed to be good by now. Did you lie to me? Are you really not for me? When I got home, I bypassed the tea and I bypassed the devotion and I slammed my Bible down on the table and I haphazardly just let it open. Now, does God do anything haphazardly? You know, come on. And I said, Lord, show me what I need to know for today. And I looked down at the page, and my eyes settled on this scripture, and it may as well already been highlighted, underlined, circled, had flashing lights on it, pointing, you know, arrows pointing to it, going, read this, babe. In Isaiah 30:21, in the NLT, in the old NLT, not the revised NLT, said, you will hear a voice behind you say, this is the way, walk here. And it was that day, that moment, that I truly believed that I was a child of God, that I am a daughter of the Most High King, and I praise him every day for it. And over this past year, I have praised him every day for leading me here to Passion. I love you all. Thank you.
All right, I have to tell a story real quick, Diane. Oh. So it'll be quick, I promise you. The first Sunday that she visited us, she was in the back over here, I think it was. Oh, okay. Yeah, over there. And she was in the back, and I'm preaching, and as I look back, she's like this. And after church, I walked up to her and I said, "So how did you like church?" She came, by the way, she came from a church where a friend of mine had, his church was closing. And so she, our mutual friend, encouraged her to come here. And so she showed up. So as I walked up to her, I said, "So how did you like the service?" Expecting her to say, "Oh, it was all right," because she had her eyes closed, right? And she said to me, she goes, "Oh, you probably thought I was asleep." And I thought in my head, well, there's a lot of people asleep during my sermons, but I was hoping that the new person in church went that way. And she goes, "No, I was praying for you." That's what she said. She goes, "That's what I do." She goes, "That's what I've done for all of these years at my old church, and that's what I did here." And that's the kind of heart that Diane has. It's such a beautiful heart, a beautiful story. So can we...
Do you want to tell them about the journal entry?
No, you can tell them that. Go ahead.
When I found out that my previous church was closing, that the pastor was leaving. There's another whole long, complicated story I won't go into. But I had met with him, and he told me that he was going to be giving his resignation. This was in June. The resignation to the congregation at our business meeting in September, that he'd be leaving at the end of the year. I was the first one in the church that knew that. I went home that day, and I wrote in my journal, and I never title my journal entries, but I did that day, and I titled it Passion. Mm-hmm. And all through that journal entry, I kept saying, "I want my passion back. I want my passion back." He gave me my passion back.
That's right. Amen. Let's pray for Diane. Father, we thank you so much for this beautiful spirit. We thank you for Diane. We thank you for all that you've done in her life, all that you've delivered her from, Father, and all that you are delivering her from. Lord, we thank you for her heart and her sacrifice to you. We thank you for her diligence to following you. We thank you that you have brought her here to us here at Passion, Father, bringing her passion back, Father. We thank you, Lord, that you have just arranged this in the way that you have. We thank you for what you're doing. We ask you that you bless her, Father. Continue to move in her, Father. Continue to work in her, Father. Continue to bless her, Lord. We thank you for all that you're doing, all that you will do, and all that you have done, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, you did awesome. Ariel, come on up. Let me introduce real quick Ariel, just as a real quick story. She is, she has been the choreographer for my wife's choir at CVCA the last 2 years. Yeah, I was going to say, I was almost at 3 years, but the last 2 years. And so she has a wonderful story. I'm so excited to hear it. So Ariel, help yourself. You can stand or sit, whatever you wish.
So my journey to God starts, as most things in my life do, with show choir. I will start with, I did not grow up in a religious household at all. My mom grew up Catholic, but my dad is very anti-religion. So we went to some Catholic masses for Christmas Eve and Easter when I was younger, when my great-grandma was around, because it would have killed her if we didn't. But as soon as she passed, that stopped being something that anyone in my family did. As a child, I really craved religion, which I feel like is weird, but I always wanted to go. My parents were like, "I'm not driving you," and I was like, "Okay." So I just kind of did my own thing for a while. And growing up, and through how Christians are portrayed in the media, I sort of grew a hatred for Christians, which I hate that is part of my story, but it is. And so back to the show choir. I was in an interview with Rubber City Theater for their Akron Public Schools summer program, and I was getting along real well with their director of education, and she really liked me, and she hired me on. A couple weeks later, I got an email that unfortunately Rubber City Theater had lost their contract with Akron Public Schools, so the job was no longer an option. And I was like, "Oh, dang, I really wanted to do that." But, you know, I was okay. I moved on. I found my next thing. And then a couple weeks after that, I get an email from this director of education that is an email that she forwarded to me from Jen saying, "Hey, I need a show choir choreographer for my middle school and my high school. Do you know anybody who might be interested?" And so she sent that to me, and I was like, oh, I am interested. Show choir has been a huge part of my life. I've been doing it for over half. I was a performer for 8, and I'm on year 5 now of being a choreographer. But, you know, I got it. I've had my meetings with Jen, and, you know, I was like, I'd really like to do this. Middle school is my forte. And she goes, let's do the high school group. I was like, okay. So I'm in my meetings with her, and she's deciding whether or not she wants to hire me. And the question comes, are you Christian? Now, I'm not going to lie to you. Part of me was like, maybe I should lie so I can have this job. But something in the moment was like, don't do that. So I was like, no, I am not a Christian. But I have worked at a faith-based school before. I've signed a faith agreement, and I can agree to not put any of my personal beliefs into minds of the children. And she, I'm so grateful that she took me on my word and still decided to hire me on that. And I remember talking with my friends and my family, like, I know show choir, I do not know God, what do I do with this? And so I was talking with myself and just kind of how do I share what I know how to do and still do it in a way that is going to honor these children and what they believe. And so we started the first year with just the high school group. And, you know, Jen had a show that she gave to me, and I was doing 2 of the songs, and the students were doing 2 of the other songs. And it was a rocky year, I'm not going to lie. But I felt very fulfilled, and I think the kids did as well. And after that first year, Jen was like, do you want to work with the middle school too? I was like, yeah, I'd really like to do that. And so I've been like pushing this in her head a little bit. I was like, what if we tried to compete? Because that's where I come from, a competition show choir world, and I really want to do that. And she was like, okay, yeah, I think that's what I've wanted for my choir for a while. And so we started on this journey of trying to get them to compete. And there was this time last year where I was doing an opposite week project for school. And I was like, I'm going to listen to purely Christian music this week because that's going to be my opposite project. So I did that, and I found all these like songs that I thought would make a really good show choir show about the resurrection. And I sent it to Jen, and I was like, we should do this show. And she listened to it, and she goes, I don't think so. I was like, okay. But I was like, all right. We let the seniors pick their show. They wanted to do a circus, or they wanted to do a Greatest Showman theme. And I was like, we're not doing just the Greatest Showman. We can do circus. So we built that show, and we started this year, and I felt really comfortable with the high schoolers, and we've been doing so, so, so well. Their competition's on February 1st at Walsh. You should come. I think we're going to bring home a trophy. And between the high school and the middle school, and I've just been feeling this last year, I was like, my dad, even though he doesn't believe in religion, does believe that everything happens for a reason. And so, specifically during the time of the election, I was like, I just don't know why I'm here. And he was like, it doesn't matter like how upset people make you sometimes, like you're there for a reason. And so I started thinking, and I was like, you know, maybe I am here for a reason. And something in the back of my head was like, God put you here for a reason. And I was like, that's a little weird. And then another opposite week project came up this year. And I was like, maybe I'll go to church. So I brought it up to one of the girls who's a junior at CBCA. Her name's Ava. She was in, or is still in, the show choir that I was a part of. So I've known her for like 8 years. And she was like, you want to go to church? And I was like, yeah, I'll try. She goes, please come to mine. So I went with her to Grace one morning. And Ava was running late. And I am the kind of person, I do not like going anywhere by myself. I am very uncomfortable. I don't want to go to the movies by myself. I don't want to go to get food by myself. I need to be with other people. But Ava was running late, and I'm also the kind of person that I'm like, I am not late. So I was like, all right, I'm going into church by myself. And I like walked in, and something just felt real homey about it. And I was like, okay, this is weird. Normally I'd be having a panic attack right now that I'm by myself and I'm sitting by myself in this really big room. She eventually came, and there was a countdown clock to service, and I was like, that's funny, that kind of seems like a concert, that's a little weird. And then they started to play their music, and it was so good. And music is a huge part of my life because I'm a, on top of being a show choir choreographer, I am getting my BFA in musical theater from Kent State. So performing is my life and music is a big part of it. And when the music was so good, I had it in the back of my head that music at church was going to suck and that I was going to hate every moment of it. And I was like, oh no, but it started and it was really good. And I was like, oh, okay. And, you know, we had service, and I was like, okay, like that was pretty good. And I really liked it. And at the time, my schedule was not conducive with going every Sunday morning. So I went when I could. And I've gone to Grace about three times, I think, when Jen texted me, and she was like, can you please come to Passion? Like, just once. I was like, sure, I'll come. And I came, and I had to leave early because I had work. But something felt real homey here, too. Like, Grace is wonderful, but it's a really big space, and I don't know anybody's name. And so I really like the community that there is here. And so after that first week, the very next Sunday morning, I texted Jen, and I was like, could I come again? And she was like, yeah, like, of course, please come. And so I came. And she sat me in the front row, and I was like, I am uncomfortable. that second time, oh, I'm missing parts of the story. So the second time that I came here, I was like, all right, I am like all in. So I went to Grace on Saturday night because I don't know why, but it felt like I needed to catch up. Like I've got 22 years of nothing that I need to fill. And so I went to Grace on Saturday, and they were talking about how to pray. That was what we were talking about that day, and how to pray big and pray bold, and the pastor gave us some time to pray. So I did, and I honestly couldn't tell you what I prayed for, but that was like my first time like really praying, and that was kind of weird. And then, you know, the band comes back up, and they start to play this song called What My Father's Like by Bridge Worship. And it's an awesome song. If you haven't listened to it, you should. So I stood up and we started singing this song. And I closed my eyes, which I don't do. It's like the performer in me. I don't close my eyes. And I held my hands out, which again, I don't do. I kind of like hold myself. I don't know. But I put my hands out like this and my eyes are closed. And I feel a weight on my hands. And I'm like, this is weird. And then it just feels like not only is there weight on my hands, but it's like pulling me forward. And I now know that that was God telling me that it was my time to come join the kingdom. And so that was really awesome. But then I came here the very next morning. Oh, I'm missing other parts of the story. This was Black Friday weekend. This necklace was on sale. And I was like, I don't feel like it's time for me to wear this yet, but like it's on sale. So I'm like, get it now. And then like God will tell me when it's time to put it on. So I bought it that morning. And then this happens at church that night. So I get home and I put my necklace on. And I come here the next morning. And Jen sees my necklace. And she's like, Ariel, are you a Christian? And I'm like, yeah, I think I am. And she goes, have you said the sinner's prayer? And I said, what is that? And she goes, do you want to do it right now? And I was like, sure. So we sat right there, and she helped me say the sinner's prayer, and I accepted God into my life. And that was really nice. It was a very emotional moment, if you were here for that. And then Jen was like, can I tell people? And I was like, sure. So she like stands up and she's like, Ariel just accepted Christ into her heart. And then everybody cheers. And like the very next Tuesday, I, with unprompted from Jen, told the kids like my story. And that prompted one of the senior boys who said that he had not felt Christ active in his life for a year and a half. But that night he went home and he felt God again. Praise God. And so, you know, he came to school the next day and he said the sinner's prayer with Jen and rededicated his life to Christ. And he shared his story. And we had multiple kids step forward and say that they had not been active Christians and living their life for God and through God. And it's been a wonderful chain reaction there. And it has made the choir so much closer. And then they like did their show and it was like the best it had ever been. And I was like, guys, have you ever like done your show like for God before? And they were like, well, I don't know. And I go, did you just do it for God? And they were like, yeah. And I go, see, it all works out. But I mean, yeah, that's pretty much my story. It's only been a couple months, but yeah.
She had mentioned, I was just going to say that, I was going to say the story about what was happening at the school. So it's an amazing thing. I mean, CVCA is a Christian school and it's a wonderful thing, but you know what? There are kids there that don't have a real faith either. And so to see what God is doing through Ariel at that school is amazing and it's just wonderful. And so can we pray for Ariel, please? Lord, we're so just honored to be part of the story, part of this wonderful young lady's life, Father, and what you're doing in her life. Lord, we pray for just continued guidance and direction. Lord, I know there's a lot of questions in our head about what's going on and where she's going and all of those things, Father. But Lord, we ask you that you just provide a way, that you make her path clear, Father, that you continue to bless her, continue to work in her life as you already have, Father. Such an amazing testimony. We're so thankful for Ariel, Father. We lift her up to you now and ask you that you just bless her in the most amazing and mighty way that only you can, Father. Her story is your story because of what you're doing in her life, Father. And so we ask you that you just bless her, that you walk with her, that you guide her. May she feel your love and your presence every single moment of every single day, Father, as she makes a difference not only in her life, but in the people around her, but most importantly, those kids' life, Father. We thank you, Lord, that you're doing this work in her life. We praise you for her and what you've done. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you. Come on up, Ben. Ben asked what picture I had for him. I did a good picture, Ben. I had. Now, just to let you guys know, I've known Ben since he was shorter than Carter. And so I've known him for many, many years. And I have many good pictures I could have put up there.
Oh, yeah.
But I spared.
Yes, thank you.
So, will you welcome Ben, please?
Thank you. First off, who's tired? Anybody tired? Just, yeah, tired. Okay. Well, so am I, but God. Those two words are extremely prominent in my life. The other word is consistency. And when Jason asked me to share my Cliff Note version of my testimony, I'm like, okay, what do I say? But God. God has been evident my entire life. I was raised Methodist from an early childhood until my parents got divorced when I was about 15 or 16 years old. Then I'm like, don't need church. Don't need God. I got this. I'm Ben Andrella. I was 6'2", 230, graduating high school. I got this. But two things changed in high school. One, stress and anxiety entered my life, and fear. So what did I do? Like any normal, typical junior boy in high school, I ran to alcohol. Alcohol and me were like this. The Cliff Note version, or on a side note, my 10-year-old son is in here, and he's never heard this part of my life. Yes, Carter, I'm talking about you. Right, surprise. No. I became addicted to it, amongst other things. Addiction has ran rampant in my life ever since I was in high school. And unfortunately, today it still runs rampant in my life because, like the rest of you, I'm a sinner. Unfortunately, my addictions led me to a very dark, dark place. In 2008, I sinned pretty strongly. And I hurt someone that I cared about. But God, you know. But God. And I'm sure that we can all identify certain areas in our life where we're like, man, this is useless. What am I doing? And then God just whack, smacks you upside the head and he says, I got you. Like Sarah was saying when she came back from Louisiana. God did that to me. And God introduced me to a gentleman that went to high school with my dad. I'm like, what are the chances of this? I'm like, there is no way. Fast forward a couple years to 2010. I moved from down south to back in with my mom. And I'm like, okay, God, I got this. I'm good. Everything's fine. I handle this. And he's like, okay, as you will, as you were. So after several failed relationships that I thought I could control when I couldn't even control myself through my addiction of alcoholism, God introduced me back to Jason and Jen. And that's one consistency. And I'm like, man, what are the chances coming to Passion, being involved? I'm like, there's no way. Like, Jason's a pastor. Get out of here. I knew Jason, right? You guys laugh. That's kind of funny. But see, the thing is I knew Jason and Jen before they were even married, before they had just started dating. When I was 8 years old, I was in a Christian choir that Jen was like, hey, you can sing like a girl. You're in. Great. So I had that going for me from a very young age, that I can sing like a girl. Now I'm just a bearded lady, so it's all good. But God. And God introduced me to so many different people that at one point in time in my life, I was actually afraid of. And that's Jim and Jeremy. I was deathly afraid of those guys growing up because I was in 4-H. And their dad, or Jim's dad, was my advisor. And Jeremy was just kind of like the guy in the background, like, hey, I'll help you out. But he's really quiet. So I was afraid of him. But when I came to Passion, it's like brotherhood. Like, they loved on me. They accepted me for where I was at in my walk with Christ. And they just kept on pushing me and encouraging me. And they showed me consistency. And that's what I needed. And 2012-ish, I could be off a little bit, don't get me wrong. Please don't, you know, throw a board at me or anything. I went to the Alive Festival. And I wanted to be the youth leader here. It was on my heart very heavily because, I mean, I'm older now. And my generation, my son, my daughter, who you guys have been praying for over her pneumonia over the past 24 hours, which I greatly appreciate and I'm thankful for. And then Hudson. Man of many words, and I can't even talk right now. I was asked to not be in the youth leader position. And sorry if my years are off a little bit. I apologize for that. You know, and I'm like, okay, you know, yeah, that sucks, but I'm Benadryl and I got this. You know, I'll just sweep my feelings under the rug and just deal with it in my own way. And I'm like, well, I got introduced to church softball at New Baltimore Community Church right down the road, right behind New Baltimore Ice Cream Stand. I'm sure a lot of you guys know where that's at. Sorry, that was a little plug for them. But I'm just addicted to ice cream now. I can't help it. I mean, shows. Yeah. So I love sports. And I'm like, all right, well, we'll make a team. So my now wife's aunt was like, hey, my niece plays softball for our college. And I'm like, well, we need her. Right? Yeah. He's like, oh, she's like A1 softball player. Like, this is awesome. Well, long story short, the first practice we had, she told me flat out that I like the sound of my own voice. And I was like, okay, we're not ever going to talk. And then I went to the Alive Festival with them, and she yelled at me, which it's okay because I need to be humbled from time to time. And I looked at her in the middle of the sermon. I believe it was Lou Giglio giving the sermon, and I looked at her, and I'm like, I don't see a ring on my finger. You can't tell me what to do. But God. It's like, I already know the plans for you, okay? By the way, that's in Jeremiah, if you didn't know that. That's actual scripture. So fast forward a little bit, and I was just living life. Everything was good. Church was good. Ben's good. Started lifting. Ben got hurt. Okay, God, what's next? And then I met a very... very important man in my life now. And that's Pastor Chaz. And at first I was like kind of standoffish from him because I'm like, man, you're doing your own church thing in another church. And I feel kind of weird going playing drums for y'all. And it's kind of scary and I don't want to do that, you know. I don't know. But he loved me for who I was. He was consistent. And Pastor Jason was consistent. And Jeremy was consistent, and Jim was consistent. And I'm like, okay, whatever, you know, I'm just going to keep on doing my own thing. Celebrate Recovery came around, and if you guys don't know what that is, it's a Christ-centered recovery group. And I'm like, ah, oh, yeah, sure, I'll go play drums, I guess. If, you know, if you want me to play drums, I'll sing a little bit too, because I still sing like a girl then, you know, it's all good. And thank you for laughing at my jokes, I appreciate it. But he saw me through my addiction of alcoholism. And because he didn't stop on me and didn't give up, as well as my other brothers that I love and respect dearly, this February will be 16 years sober from alcohol. Yeah, seriously. And this isn't about me. This is all about him. It's all about God and the sacrifice that Christ paid on the cross for me, for you guys. And everybody's got a hurt habit or a hang up. And Pastor Chaz saw through all of that. And I'm like, okay. And then about 5 or 6 years ago, my wife and I decided to leave and to go to Community Bible Church. Great church, great people, not knocking anybody here. It was just Megan and I felt that it was our time to leave for a season. And as soon as I walked in, Brother Mitch Lambert, God rest his soul, he looked at me and he's like, okay, Andrella, when do you want to sing like a girl on stage with us? And I'm like, dude, I'm like, I've only been here like a week. Like, give me a break. And some of you guys know the rest of that story and how it panned out. He passed away in a bicycle accident. And I'm a firm believer that God led me there for that season to help some of the people that I love and care about there just get through the tough times. And honestly, I wouldn't change any of that for the world. But God reached back out, and my wife is an amazing worshiper. When she worships, when she prays, it's like everything aligns, and I'm just... my heart is just so happy to see her and do those things. And she started coming here, and I tried to fight the urge just to leave CBC and come back here where her and I met. And I'm like, I have responsibilities there, Meg. Like, you can't, I got to do this for me. You got to do you, I'll take care. And someone told me, they're like, why is a husband and wife separated when they should be together when they're in church? They need to be at the same place. And I was like, man, that's a tough bullet to bite on, seriously. So I stepped down from worship team there, and they understood. And I love them for that dearly. I really do. And I'm back. I'm back where it all began. And God has been so good to me. I mean... there's much more to my story, much, much, much more, as Jason laughs at me, but this is just the Cliff Note version, and I'll share it with you guys. If you guys want to know the rest of my story, and where I was at in my darkest, deepest places, I'll openly share it with you. Because I choose to put my faith over my fear. And I'll repeat what Sarah says from a guy's standpoint. This 6'3" piece of man meat is deathly afraid of God. Deathly afraid of God. But I know that he can get me through any addiction, any mountain, because my God is so much bigger and better because he's such a good, good father. Don't be afraid. If you guys are struggling with something, anything, anxiety, stress, depression, whatever it is, God has got you. And just take that one next step, like Diane said, and just reach out to someone. Myself, I'll listen to you, Pastor Jason, Pastor Chaz. We're here to help. We want to help. Miss Jen, don't be too prideful that it's going to hold you back from being who God created you to be. Because he loves you so much that he sent his only son to die on the cross.
Let's pray for Ben. I've had the honor of, really, I have had the honor of knowing him for 30 plus years?
32 and a half.
32.
14 days, 6 hours. And about 43 seconds.
Yeah, no.
44 seconds.
It's been a long time, but I used to pray for him when he was this big. Now I got to go like this to pray for him. But let's pray. Father, we thank you for Ben. We thank you for his heart. We thank you for just all that you're doing in him, Lord. Such a wonderful story of your love for this man and how you intertwined and just worked inside of his life, Father, from day one. Lord, as Ben so rightly said, Jeremiah 29:11, for you know the plans that I have. I know the plans I have for you. Because he has knitted us in our mother's womb. And so you know us personally, Father. You know him personally, Father. And I just bless, I bless you for the relationship and the friendship that we have. And I ask you that you just bless him now. Lord, Father, I could continue praying for Ben, but I just want to lift up to you Charlotte right now, Lord Jesus, and ask you that you touch her in the sickness and pneumonia that she's dealing with. Clear her lungs even immediately, Father. You have the power of doing that. Lord, thank you for Ben. Thank you for the husband that he is. Thank you for the father that he is. Thank you for the friend that he is, Father. We lift him up to you and ask you that you bless him now in Jesus' most precious and holy name. Amen, amen. And amen. Amen. God bless. Thank you, brother. Thanks, where's your team? Will you come forward, please? As they're coming forward, yes, go ahead and clap, please. As the worship team comes forward, I only have about a 3-hour sermon to give. So I'm kidding. But just want to end with this. Come up. You guys come up. Everyone has a story. And I want to end with this. I want you to realize that today we heard from 4 different people, 4 different testimonies, 4 different places, 4 different things that are going on in people's lives. But every single one of you in this room has a story to tell. And you should be telling that story. Do you have a story to tell? Do you? Is it quick?
Yeah, I'm making
it. Okay.
I'm making it. But I'll do it from here.
Okay.
Nobody in here knows me, but my name's Donna Kales. I have another church that I go to in Windham. And I am a Christian. And I am a Christian. I am God's child. I've been going through a lot of things lately. And I've already been through a divorce and hard times. And God has brought me through it and through an abusive marriage. And he's, like, brought me through it. And right now my son is going through it, through a divorce. He was separated from her like a week ago, last Saturday. And I was in Carolina at the time that my son called me and told me, Mom, his wife kicked him out of the house. I'm like 9 hours away from him. He's crying on the phone so hard I could barely understand what he was saying. In a mother's heart, I wanted to be there with him, but yet I couldn't be. It broke my heart. And so Saturday and Sunday went by, and Monday night I could not wait to get home. And there he was, sitting in a recliner, no lights on in my house. And he was so down. I've never seen my son so down because he suffers with depression. And if I just need to ask for prayer for him, because I feel that God will do for him what God did for me.
Mm-hmm. What's his name?
Donald.
Donald. All right. Will you stand with me, please? We're going to pray for Donald in a moment, but let me finish by saying this. Every one of you have a story to tell. Every single one of us should be sharing our stories with other people. Because like Ariel's story, like Ben's story, like Diane's story, like Sarah's story, when you hear that and you hear what God is doing, it does something inside of you. And so share your story. Share your story with the people around you. Share your story. And if you don't think you have a story, come see me or Pastor Chaz. We'll give you a story. No, I'm kidding. We'll help you learn what your story is. Such a wonderful thing. Let's pray. Donald, right? You said? Donald? All right. Let's pray for Donald right now. Father, we thank you for this day, but we want to lift up to you Donald, Lord, right now. You know his relationship and what's going on right now. You know the state of depression that he's in. Father, you are a great and almighty working God. You can reach down and touch the hearts of people. And so we're asking you to do that right now, even in the place where Donald is at, that you just reach down and that you touch him and that you remove that depression, that you give him hope, that you give him a vision of a future with you, Father. And whatever that means, Lord, here on this earth, let him know that he's not walking through this separation alone, that you are with him, Father. Guide him, strengthen him, build him up, Father. Lift him up. And Lord, while you're calling and reaching out to Donald, we pray for the same for us, Father. Reach down and touch us. Build us up. Help us to share our story with others, Lord. Help us to work as we enter into this new year to share the good things that you have done in us so that we can give you glory, honor, and praise because you deserve that and so much more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Let's worship together.
You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. I heard a thousand stories of what they make your life alive. Heard the tender whispers of love. Dead of mine and you tell me that's your peace and that I'm never alone. You're good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. I see many searching for answers far and wide, but I know we're all searching for answers, and you provide, because we know just what we need. before me. Say, yeah, yeah, dear, 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 Father, it's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. Your perfect Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You are perfect in all of your ways. 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 You are. You're a good, good God. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am, your good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am.
He is a good, good Father. And each and every one of us, He is good to us. As we enter into 2025, I can't believe I'm saying that, Pastor Chaz, right? As we enter into 2025, I know, I'm old. Only old people say that, by the way, you know. Ariel and these younger, they never say something like that. But 2025, but as we enter into 2025, whether you're in a good place, you're in a bad place, or you're somewhere in between, know that God is good and that He's working a story in you. If you'll only grab a hold of Him and let Him work that story out in you, He's a good, good Father that wants to do that in your life. Grab a hold of Him, walk with Him, and share that story with others. Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You for all that You're doing, all that You will do. As we enter into a new year, bless us, Father. We again lift up Donald to You, ask You to bless him. We ask You to bless every single person in this room that's dealing with things that they cannot grasp a hold of, they can't do on their own, Father. Come and be that good, good Father in us that You are. We love You, Lord. We glorify You. We honor You. And we praise You now in Jesus' most precious and holy name. Amen and amen. God bless you all. If you have any prayer requests, we'd love to have an opportunity to pray with you. But be blessed. Have a wonderful new year. We'll see you again next year.